Hey guys, it's Michelle, and I wanted to tell you about something really cool that I did last week. And that was that I had a FaceTime consulting session with one of you, our listeners. A bride out there contacted me about month of coordination, and unfortunately, I was not available on her wedding date. However, she's been planning for several months. Her venue does have an on-site coordinator, but she really felt she needed someone to check in with. And Christy and I, we consult on an hourly basis with people often. We can consult with you. We offer our listeners a discounted rate. So what happened with this bride was I sent her some information that I would need to gather from her prior to our call. She sent me copies of her contracts that I could refer to as we were talking. I made lots of notes on the contracts and actually made some recommendations. And then in turn, this bride had a list of questions for me. So not only did we address all those questions, but throughout the conversation, other things came up, and I gave her lots of tips. And we even got on Google. She added me to her timeline that she had created, and I got in there and made some edits myself as well. So it was awesome. It was a really great 2 hours. It was lovely getting to know one of you on a more personal basis and working through the wedding plans together. So please know that we are available to help you out. Just email us. Just let us know. And we can set up a 2-hour FaceTime call, Skype call, whatever, with you. And you'll get a nice discounted hourly rate from us. So that's number one. The second thing I want to mention to you is our friend Stephanie Lamb, who has been on the show before. I was her wedding planner, and I recorded on her wedding day. She has 2 new podcasts that you should check out. The first one is called the Pet Loss Podcast, and it's essentially exactly about what it's called, pet loss. So if you or anyone you know has a pet, this is your family member. This is a loved one to you. You know this. And when you lose a pet, it's a family member, and you go through grief. You go through a process. And Stephanie went through that herself and decided to create a podcast about it where you can go for support and encouragement. So listen online or on iTunes, Google Play, wherever. It's called The Pet Loss Podcast. And then the second podcast that Stephanie created, because she is an artist and a very talented one at that, it's called High on Paint Fumes with Stephanie Lamb, a dose of inspiration and information to help you make more art. So check it out. I'm super excited for her. She just launched, and I wanted to give her a shout out and some love. Check it out, everybody. And now enjoy this really awesome episode.
The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen, learn.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained at the same time. My name is Michelle Martinez, and usually this is a spot where she says, and I'm Christy Matthews. Thank you for listening. But my lovely dear friend Christy is not with us, sadly, on this episode because she had to work. And somebody has to do that. Somebody's got to make the money in this family. She had a client meeting, and she was super bummed because she really, really, really wanted to do this interview with me. But, I mean, I'm good. I'll fly solo. And I'm really, really happy about this episode, you guys, because I don't know, it was like a few weeks ago, I guess, that I was like on Instagram, as I am very, 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 probably too often, and I come across this photo, and I'm like, holy shit, who is this? Like, there's this photo of this couple, like, on a cliff, full wedding garb, and it was, like, amazing. And not only was it amazing because the couple looked really happy, and the setting was like, holy shit, jaw-dropping,
But there was this feeling of like freedom and happiness and love exuding from this photo. And I was like, who took this photo? Like, who are these people? Who is this person? Well, it's actually two people. So I found the Hearnses and on Instagram, and ever since I'm like waiting for the next photo that you guys post. It's pretty amazing. So I of course was like, people need to know about these people, and I DM'd you on Instagram, not thinking you would, wondering if possibly you would respond, and was really excited when you did respond, because I'm like, our listeners need to hear your story. Our listeners need to hear about you and what you do and who these couples are that are like having you go on these adventures with them, or maybe they're going on adventures with you. So right now, guys, if you're driving, like, don't do this, but maybe take a quick look at your, you know, what count, how many minutes we are into recording, and come back when it's safe to do so and get on Instagram right away and follow the Hearnses. And it's at T-H-E-H-E-A-R-N-E-S, the Hearns. You will not be sorry. And while you're at it, you better be following us too at the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, because if you're not, what's wrong with you? So yes, I welcome Abby and Callan, who are married, the Hearnses, to our show. And they are recording from a really cool hippie-looking pad in Utah. Is that where you are?
Yeah, Moab, Utah.
Moab, Utah. Welcome. Thank you for taking the time to talk to us.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having us. We're super honored.
I was looking at your schedule. Like, you guys are traveling all over the place. But let's start out with, explain to us what it is you do.
Yeah, so we are Abby and Callan Hearn, and we run the Hearns Adventure Photography. And we are adventure wedding photographers specializing in elopements and intimate weddings all over the Western U.S. We live in our van full time. So we just travel. We mostly shoot in Yosemite National Park in California and in Moab, Utah. But we go all over.
Yeah, I mean, we've shot probably 50 locations in the past year and a half that we've been on the road full time.
Yeah.
Wow. Why is it mostly in those two places, though? Are you based, or do you live? Is it your home base in one of those spots?
No, so we do not have a home base per se. We don't pay rent. We don't have a house, we don't pay a mortgage, we just live in our van.
Yes.
That said, we like Moab a lot and have a lot of friends here, and we also like Yosemite a lot.
Yeah, it's just kind of the two places we felt the most drawn to. I think I have a really strong pull to Yosemite, just the magic of the place and the walls there. I mean, there's something so special about it, so I always want to go back there, and then Moab just feels the most like home of everywhere we've gone. And yeah, we have a really amazing community here. So we always try and come back here whenever the weather's good and we can get after the adventures and shoot amazing weddings.
Okay, so how long have you guys been married?
It was 3 years in December, so almost 3.5 years.
Awesome. And how long were you together before you got married?
Oh my gosh, like...
like 5 or 6 years, I think.
Yeah.
Were you into photography before you met?
I've always kind of been into artsy things. I got my first DSLR camera my freshman year of college, but I was always really interested in just taking photos of things, and I was always the friend with the camera at camp and stuff like that growing up. And then when I got my first DSLR, I started taking photography more seriously, and I did a film photography course in college that taught me how to shoot manual. And then I ended up working with a wedding photographer in college as her second shooter and did about 10 weddings with her. And that's kind of how I got into the wedding world. And then I pretty much recruited Callan in for when I booked my first wedding under my own name. I didn't want to pay a second shooter. So I was like, hey, Callan, learn how to work a camera and come to this wedding with me. And he learned with YouTube and that kind of stuff, looking up just how to shoot manual like on the way to the wedding. And
Yeah, like 2 days before the wedding, I started learning manual. We actually ended up picking up a new camera on the way to our first wedding.
We had like called the camera shop and we were like, hey, we're buying this camera and we need to use it today. So can you take the battery out and start charging it? And when we pick it up, we need it to be charged. And they were like, okay, I guess that works. And it all worked out.
It was pretty classic. But we crushed it.
Yeah, we totally crushed it and loved working together.
So Callan, like, so you guys were dating at this point, and that's how
we were married.
Yeah, oh, you were married.
Okay. Married at that point. Uh-huh. So we got married and then shot our first wedding together, 6 months after we got married.
Okay. So, oh my God. Okay. So you guys have been doing this under 3 years, like on your own as a business.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
You've got great talent. I would think you've been doing this for like decades.
I like to think that just going after it full time, like I never part-timed photography. It was kind of something that as soon as we were doing it on our own, I was full on into that. And then once we hit the road, I mean, our business took off so fast. Last year was such a huge year of growth just because we were full into it, living in our van, going to the places. I was spending all of my time taking photos. And one big thing was like when we weren't taking photos of couples, we were taking photos of each other. So we were literally using our cameras every single day and editing those photos and figuring out how to blog and do all of those things. And I think that's kind of why it like fast tracked and did so well in under 3 years.
Wow. So Callan, like what did you used to do to make money?
Yeah. So I was a musician for 8 years professionally.
Oh, cool.
I also worked at an REI for a while, an outdoor store. But yeah, basically we didn't make a whole lot of money and we just lived in the cheapest apartment and ate really cheap food and then did a bunch of road trips.
Oven pizza all the time.
I mean, we got married super young too. Abby was 20. I was 22.
Oh, we were babies.
I know, you guys are so youthful. I'm looking at your faces. I'm like, oh, they're so young. That's awesome. I got married young too. I was 20 and he was 19. I'm still with him. We're still together.
Nice.
And 22 years later. So,
wow. So
it works.
Yeah.
That's so cool. And what instruments do you play, Callan?
I just play drums. So kind of like a half musician.
What? What are you talking about? I can
like,
never freaking
do that.
Like, I
don't know music theory.
Oh.
Like, I don't know scales. All I know is how to hit stuff in time, which totally counts, but
yeah,
it's not like one of those musical wizard people.
You're like, but can you hear it and then like play it? Like,
yeah, drums. I mean, it's super easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think it's super easy. Okay. Super easy for you, Callan. Okay.
It's not melodic. It's, yeah, I don't know. Percussive, I think, is the cop-out route.
Whatever.
Do not piss off the drummers out there. Okay, Callan. Okay, cool. So I love that you live in your van. That's always been kind of like a little secret fantasy of mine. Like my husband and I grew up together and we have now two kids. But one of the things we did last year was he works in advertising. And so this agency in Boston where they wanted to hire him. We were there almost 7 years. It was awesome, except the winters. After like 5.5 years, I was like, dude, I miss home. And he started working freelance and I worked from home. Our kids were in elementary school and they still are. And we're like, why can't we just leave for the winter? Like, why can't we just do that? Changed our lives. Like we had this huge place we were living in, like went down to a teeny tiny two bedroom, two family, you know, like apartment, squished, got rid of all of our stuff, you know, like garage sale it all, just brought the necessities, pulled the kids out of school, and then went to Mexico City for a while, and then came here to Cali for a while, ended up being gone for 6 months. And then all our friends were like, you're crazy. How are you going to do this with your kids? Like, this is crazy. And it was awesome. I mean, we didn't live out of a van.
Yeah.
We had a home with all that stuff. But like we put the kids in a public school where we ended up and I did homeschooling for like almost 2 months, which was freaking crazy. So like we were like, someday, babe, we're just gonna, you know, when the kids are older, like we're just gonna friggin', you know, live wherever. We're just going to be remote. So
yeah, I mean, it's a really cool lifestyle for sure.
Yeah, we get to chase good weather for the most part. And I mean, in the winter, we do end up just in snow sometimes. But for the most part, we get to go to the good places. And it's definitely a challenge living in such a small space together and running a business together. We piss each other off quite a bit.
I bet.
It's totally worth, like, we always say that we reduce the size of our home, but we have an infinite backyard. So we can open the door whenever we want and be wherever we want and stretch out and enjoy the places that we get to live and park the van. And that's worth it to us to not have a flushing toilet.
Yeah.
Right.
Or toilet at all.
Uh-huh. So wait, what kind of van is it?
So it's a 2017 Dodge Ram ProMaster, which is, it's a front wheel drive, big white cargo van. Everyone calls it a Sprinter, which it's not. It's technically a Fiat.
It looks like a Sprinter. If you don't know anything about vans, everyone just thinks it's all the
same.
And
it's a high roof, so you can stand up in it.
I was going to say, it's those tall ones, right? Like, yeah.
Yeah.
And do you have it all pimped out inside or like?
No, it's pretty ghetto rigged. It works. I'm like a utilitarian person in a lot of regards. And so we built it out ourselves over the course of 3 weeks in spring of 2017. So we've just had it for a year, but it's got some solar panels on it. It's got a fridge, kind of a sink,
little countertop and a bed and all that. I mean, I feel like Callan just kind of built it as we needed it. And then I painted the cabinets and put some throw pillows in there and a couple of Pendleton blankets. So it feels like home. And it's funny because some of our friends that live in vans will see it and be like, oh my gosh, this is so nice. Like, this is way nicer than my van. And then some of our friends that live in houses are like, I don't know how you do this. So it's all relative, but we're happy with it and it works for us.
That's really cool. All right. So let's talk about weddings. Because this is a wedding podcast.
Right.
talk to me about who these couples are, you know, and how are they finding you and how are they finding these locations? Like, this is fascinating to me because in the 16 years that I've been a wedding planner, I've done lots of outdoor ceremonies, but it's always in a spot and there's always guests and there's always, you know, it's traditional. Traditional as opposed to what you're doing.
Right.
So talk to me about your average, you know, what's your average wedding?
Yeah. So our typical couple is people that honestly, a lot of them started planning a bigger wedding and got to the point where they were kind of like, this doesn't feel like us. And honestly, some of them found our Instagram during their wedding planning and were like, wait, this is what I want to do.
This feels more us. Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so they changed their minds. And some of them, you know, like they've been following us for a while and they're like, as soon as I find a guy, like I'm going to elope and hire you guys and do an adventure with you. So it's all kinds of things, but our couples find us through Instagram and through Google. We've like optimized to be at the top of adventure wedding photographer and elopement photographer and all those kind of things. But mainly it's couples that prioritize experiences and traveling and seeing places over nice things. So they just translate that into how they plan their wedding as well and decide to go see a new national park and elope in Yosemite. And they hire us because we know Yosemite like the back of our hands and can recommend awesome places. And we know when to shoot at Glacier Point to avoid the tourists and when to go to Taft Point and all that kind of stuff. But it's mostly just people that wanted to prioritize an experience and a beautiful place over having a big party that they didn't feel like resonated with them when they were planning it.
And a lot of our couples are, you know, not people that camp all the time and are super outdoorsy, but it's sometimes a couple that aspires to do something like that. And they'll say, man, what a first step in that direction to get married out in this place and to start this journey together, you know, pursuing what we want to become. And we've seen couples, there's one that we just got, I don't want to like use anyone's names or whatever, but we shot their super small elopement in Moab last year. And since then, they've actually moved into a van, and they're now doing
they're doing it.
She's a copywright, and they work mobile, and they're loving it. And it's just, that's such a cool thing to see how that couple's progressed. And then we got to skydive with the bride from that wedding.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was just really
did her
awesome
first skydive.
Oh my God.
Yeah, it was really cool. And I think, like, sometimes people message me on Instagram and they'll be like, oh my gosh, I want to do my wedding with you guys, but I'm not that cool or I'm not that adventurous. And we're always like, honestly, there's so many different levels of adventure. Like, some of our couples will hike them 6 miles into the wilderness and do that, and they need to like have this technical training and know how to be outdoors. And some of them, it's literally 100 feet from the parking lot, but it's an epic spot with a gorgeous view, and they're choosing this like nature wedding details over man-made details. And both of them are awesome, and we love working with both of those types of couples and that whole scale of adventurous personalities.
Yeah. Oh, so I love this, because my assumption was that you're working with couples that are like this, that they just do this kind of shit all the time, right? And I love that someone could be, I mean, you must love this too, could be going and looking at your work and saying, what am I doing? This is not, like, I want to have this. I want to do that. Mm-hmm. And then starting their lives off that way and in this adventurous way, that's incredible. How beautiful is that?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, I mean, Callan is way more adventurous than me. I always tell people I'm like a couch potato at heart. Like, I love being indoors. I love Netflix. I love sitting on a couch all day. And I, you know, I've fallen in love with the outdoors, clearly, but it took a lot of work and it took a lot of like motivating me to go hiking and get outside when conditions weren't absolutely perfect. And I don't want people to think that just because they're not this naturally like super outdoorsy person that they can't get after it and enjoy the outdoors. And I just think if people look at our photos and it like makes their heart beat faster and makes them feel like they want to do that, then they should do it. And any level of activity can make it happen. And I don't want people to feel like they have to be this like hardcore rad rock climber, skydiver, kayaker to work with us.
Yeah. Like, you, so when you take these, let's say you have to go on a hike, you have to get to this place. I mean, she's not doing that in a wedding gown, you know, like, right? I mean, she's like.
It depends. So we always recommend, like, the most I'll recommend hiking in a wedding gown is up to 2 miles round trip.
What?
If we're going, and it's only if it's going to be like an easy flat hike. Like, there's some places in Yosemite that it's a 2 mile round trip hike, but it's just on like a path in the woods, and it's not super technical. But yeah, it just always depends on the setting. Sometimes our brides will put their dress in their backpack and change into it out in the wilderness and do a first look out there. And sometimes they're changing in our van in the parking lot and then hiking out to the location.
Yeah, one of our first weddings, first elopements that we did, the groom actually hiked out with a backpacking pack with a tent that his bride changed into her dress in the tent out in the redwoods in California outside San Jose.
Yeah.
And that was an example of not wearing the dress on the hike. She did wear it on the hike out from the ceremony location as we took more photos.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty standard that our bride and groom will wear their clothes, and the clothes will have signs of being in the environment, you know, that...
Yeah, their dress always has, like, an ombre of either orange dirt or gray dirt or whatever, you know, wherever we are. Their dress shows that they hiked in it at the end of the day, which our brides love.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, you know...
Totally.
...a little token to take home and say that they were adventurous. And one thing is, like, I am pretty involved with our brides from the beginning. We're one of the first vendors they book, and sometimes the only vendor they book. So I help them pick out dresses often. And, you know, I'll say, like, hey, this trumpet shape that is going to be compressed to your knees is not best for hiking around. Like, you need to be able to move. It needs to be light. We love flowy skirts, but we don't want, like, 25 layers that you can't even walk around in.
Right.
But our brides typically pick adventure-ready dresses because they know what they're getting themselves into with us. Mm-hmm. And the biggest thing is actually footwear. it's really important that our brides wear shoes that they
have to
can
be changing their shoes once they get to
and
the spot.
Sometimes they'll just wear hiking boots with their dress and just embrace it, and it's like part of the fun.
Are you taking photos of them hiking? Because I see your beautiful photos, like, you know, at the spot, but I want to see the behind the scenes photos. I want to see the journey.
We take a lot of those.
Yeah, we definitely take a bunch of those, and those are always delivered in our galleries. They're not necessarily what we post on Instagram.
You should do a behind the scenes, a whole nother Instagram feed just for like the dirt, you know.
Right.
That would be so cool. Yeah.
I always try and show it like in my story.
Or on a highlight.
Just the other day. Yeah, in my stories I'll have that and kind of show people. And then I have like a huge elopement guide that I send to every bride that books with us that has examples of like shoes that brides have worn. And you know, there's like, there's cute boots that you can get that are leather boots but have good soles and look good with a wedding dress, in my opinion, and aren't necessarily the
where are you getting
hardcore.
Those? What are they?
REI. So at REI, my favorite brand is Kodiak.
How do you spell it?
And that's actually, it's Kodiak.
Okay.
And it's like a Canadian based brand.
Yeah, and they have good insulated boots as well as just, you know, waterproof.
Oh, I'm looking at that. Yeah. That's cool.
And they've got good outsoles. And so, you know, it's grippy because we're in relatively precarious situations a lot. You want to have shoes that don't slide.
Right. Yeah, and that's one thing that we even have to remind our grooms, too, because sometimes men's dress shoes are, like, a total death trap.
So yeah, this is a good point. Like, these are elopements, right?
Yeah.
I mean, are they bringing people with them?
Sometimes. Yeah. We typically have, you know, 0 to 10 guests. But we've shot a couple of these kind of intimate weddings, is what we call them, that'll have, you know, 20 to 30 guests.
Yeah.
Oh, you have? Mm-hmm. Okay. And where are those? Are they in the same spots or?
In Yosemite quite a bit. We have those where it's like they bring their family, their immediate family and a few friends. And there's spots in Yosemite that you can have up to 50 guests at certain ceremony locations. In Moab, just the other day, we did a wedding where the couple had just their parents. And then we do have a lot where it's just the couple and we're signing the license as witnesses. And
I was going to say, cause who's officiating this? Are you guys, can you officiate?
We're not certified. We always recommend someone get an officiant just because it helps with the flow of the day. And we like to photograph the whole ceremony, but my brothers are actually both certified officiants. It's not their full-time job, but they kind of like got into it in the past year because I was like, hey, we have couples that need officiants. They don't want to use someone that they already know because they don't want to like include one person. And they need someone that's willing to hike out in this spot. So yeah, both of my brothers do it. They've both done weddings with us before. It's super fun. So that's always who I recommend first.
And
then we'll find
lot,
like, local people.
Yeah. And
too.
A lot of our couples will bring a couple of friends to their wedding day and have one of the friends do the ceremony, which is so cool. And it's always the friend's first time to do a ceremony and they always knock it out of the park. I really
that's
like to
happening
see that.
So much.
And we've had,
even with the weddings we're doing in venues, like it's beautiful, actually. It's lovely.
Right.
I love it.
Yeah. And we've had some, parents do the ceremonies as well, which is really cool.
Yeah, that's always super
sweet. I'm getting like chills. That's awesome.
It's
so
amazing.
Cool. Okay, so I got a more of a visual of what's happening now and what you guys are doing. So what do you think on average these couples are spending? I'm curious to know, like, the average wedding in the United States, you know, it's like 30 to 35 grand,
right?
Like, and that's across the U.S. That's not here in California.
Right.
Right.
It's a lot more for these big weddings of 100, 200 people. It's this big ordeal. It's this big production. It's months and months and months in the planning. They're hiring people like me to help them out, of which I'd love to work with couples like yours and go. I would love to go watch you guys do what you do. I might even hit you up when you're out here. But what do you think these couples on these quote unquote elopements are spending? Do you know on the whole thing?
Yeah. So one thing that is kind of interesting is like people think elopement and they think that you're spending like a total of $200 going to City Hall, getting the cheapest possible photographer or just a friend with an iPhone. But we're mm-hmm. trying to change that and show people that you can elope and still have like the dream wedding that you've wanted. Mm-hmm. So we kind of tell people, you know, you can spend $100,000 on a wedding and spend $10,000 on a photographer and have this like extravagant wedding, or you could mm-hmm. spend $10,000 on your wedding and have a $6,000 photographer and have like a really epic elopement. And that's including all of your flights and maybe your family's flights if they come out. But yeah, we, with this style of wedding, we typically make up, I would guess, like 75 to 90% of a couple's budget is going towards us.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. Because okay. they're pretty much hiring totally. Us and then maybe hair and makeup, maybe floral, buying a dress and getting to the location. And that's their main cost of their wedding.
Okay. Do you mind sharing your range of pricing or what it starts at?
Yeah, yeah. All our prices are on our website. Yeah. So elopements start at...
Yeah, so our lowest elopement is 6 hours, and that's $5,000. Mm-hmm. And then it goes up to... And those kind of stagger with, like, the amount of people as well. So I think the highest one is at $7,000 for up to 50 people, and that's an 8-hour package. So, yeah, they all vary.
Yeah, so $5,000 to $8,000. And the prices have changed, you know, 4 times in this last year yeah. just because of how much the business has grown.
Yeah.
Right. We're definitely at the higher end of the elopement market, the adventure elopement market, mm-hmm. Which is, you know, a lot of reasons. It's because of our location knowledge, our extensive experience in these places. I mean, I truly believe that there's nobody, no wedding photographer out there that knows Yosemite and is doing Yosemite the way that we are. And on top of that, it's just the like value of us and how much work we put into each wedding.
Yeah. I mean, how many hours, and this is not counting before the wedding date, but I mean, how many hours are you with these couples on the wedding?
Six day. To eight is kind of our yes. like, yeah.
Okay. And then, you know, you're speaking with them beforehand. And we were just talking to a photographer last week, and, you know, she brought up something that I don't know that many people think of, the post-production of what you do. Like, are you editing these or are you yeah. sending? Okay.
It's so much work.
Yeah.
I
Abby's
mean,
still editing yeah. all of our photos.
Yeah. Okay, so Callan teases me because he wants me to figure out outsourcing this year because I'm just
yeah,
because
you can outsource it and have someone bring it up to like 90%. And then you obviously do the final
yeah,
touches.
Yeah, the final edits. But, yeah, so we put a ton of work into beforehand also. And that's one thing that, in my personal experience, is really different than when we used to do bigger venue weddings. Like, when we used to do typical or traditional weddings, we would put up a timeline and then we would show up and go with the timeline and do what we were told to do and capture those things, you know, and we had 20 minutes of portraits and that was like the creativity of the day. And the rest of it was like capture the events as they happen. Whereas now, you know, some of our couples have never been to these places. So we're recommending where they should stay, what airport to fly into, how to get to the park. We're helping them figure out which location they want by sending a ton of different ideas and, you know, asking like, do you want to be in a valley surrounded by mountains or do you want to be on top of a mountain? Do you want to be in a canyon or by a river? And kind of customizing the whole day to them. And then also just getting to know our couples beforehand is super important to us because we don't get to do those in-person coffee consultations as much. So yeah, we spend a ton of time beforehand prepping for the wedding and then the wedding
you're
day.
You're helping them plan this.
Yeah.
Definitely.
You're also acting as a planner.
Yeah,
here.
We're wedding
right. destination wedding planner.
And then we're hiking guides.
Yeah, we joke that we have so many roles.
And then we're friends at the end, which is the raddest thing about the whole gig.
Right.
You're skydiving with these people.
Right.
Yeah. It's crazy. Yeah. So cool. Yeah, and we talk about that a lot and how, specifically with photographers, how important it is to have a good connection with you guys because you're spending so much time on very intimate moments during the day. And photographers need to be able to bring out something in the couple that translates into these still images. So yeah, super important. And I mean, what you're charging is no different what you know, a wedding photographer going to a hotel and shooting a wedding, you know,
right.
All structured out is charging. So, I mean, I personally, I thought I was like, oh my God, it's going to be way more, but, but you know, that's great. And the experience and the photos, because that's what's left, right? Obviously the experience in the couple's hearts and memory, but those photos that are going to live on and like their grandkids are going to be like, dude, my grandparents were fucking awesome. Look where they got married. Like,
right.
No, it's so cool. It's so great. You mentioned hair and makeup. Like, are they hiring hair and makeup artists to come with them to the spot and like get all done up there? Or is it before?
It's typically before. So like our couple will stay in an Airbnb near, you know, in the nearest town or whatever. And for example, the other day we did a wedding in Moab where we actually met in the morning and shot sunrise with the couple. And then they took a break and then we shot sunset and did their ceremony at sunset. So their makeup artist actually came over at 2 a.m. and did the bride's hair and makeup before they had to drive all the way up into the national park. It was so early.
Yeah, because sunrise was at 6 and it was a 1 hour drive from town.
So that was super early. And so she came over, did her hair and makeup. We met and did photos and then they had a break. And then the hair and makeup artist came back and met with them again and did like a little refresh before their ceremony. And that was... I mean, that was like perfect because the bride got to kind of get her hair and makeup done twice and she actually changed dresses. So she had a totally different look for the second half of the day, which was super fun. But yeah, it varies. A lot of times, like our brides will do their own hair and makeup as well if they're in a more remote area.
So are you driving them in your van to the closest point you can and then you guys are hiking?
Yeah, so we don't drive couples in our van.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, we've just got two seatbelts, and so we'll kind of caravan out to locations or have them meet us at a location, and then a lot of the time we'll shoot at a couple of different spots, and so they'll be driving with us and we'll just say, "Hey, follow the big white van with all the stickers on the back." And we have walkie-talkies that we use.
Nice.
When we're out of service. Yeah.
It's like 60 or 70% of our weddings are not in cell service. And so we found those to be really helpful.
Yeah.
So that's so cool. So there's no internet when they're getting out there. Nobody's like on their phones. This is pure like experience. They're experiencing it.
Yeah.
For sure.
So besides Utah and Yosemite, what are some other cool spots? Have you traveled to other countries?
Yeah, we've done some international travel. We haven't shot any weddings in other countries. We just recently went to South America, to the Patagonia region in Argentina and Chile, and that was really cool. We go to Canada once or twice every year, kind of the Canadian Rockies area.
We really loved Patagonia and are really hoping to book some weddings down there if we can get the chance. But for the most part, we found that we just really enjoy doing them around the Western U.S. and kind of filling our schedule by having like a really busy month and then having a month off to travel wherever we want.
Nice.
That works better for our flow of things. Even we are in Moab for a whole month and I scheduled all of our elopements to be back to back. So we had like 2 whole weeks off and then we had 3 elopements in a row. And then we have another week and a half off with 1 session during that time. And I did that intentionally because I really like to kind of go into wedding mode and do that and then have the freedom to edit at night after our adventures are over and we can kind of decide what we want to do with each day when we are here.
That's great. You're making time for yourselves too. So that's important. Any fun stories? Has anybody broken a leg hiking? Has anybody like, what's some, the most exciting things you think you've shot or experienced with these?
So we have a really good track record with no injuries yet, but we do have a super strong contract in the event that something did come up.
We understand these environments and know where things can get sketchy and difficult, and so we're always aware of that.
Right, and like even when the photos do look sketchy, we never put our clients in situations where it's sketchy or they're afraid. I'm always super serious about people's fears and comfort levels and And constantly asking them. You know, the other day we had a groom that was really afraid of heights. And so I would say, hey, if you're comfortable, go stand on that spot. If not, we can go somewhere else. And just always give them the out. I never want people to look at the photos and be like, yeah, that's beautiful, but I was terrified and thought I was going to die. So we're really serious about that.
And I think, you know, we want our couples to feel like it was an adventure, because it is.
Right.
You know, we're hiking out to these cool places and they're experiencing the desert or the mountains in ways that they haven't before. And I think we've gotten pretty good at balancing it with an adventure and not, like, fear factor.
Right, right.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, every single couple is different with their comfort level, and sometimes they'll surprise us and we'll be, like, being really careful, and then they're, like, running around on rocks and going crazy, and we're like, okay, cool, that's awesome, we will just capture what you do. But I would definitely say the most exciting and crazy wedding we've done was last fall. We shot a wedding that was on a space net in Moab. So it was like this giant, kind of like a hammock, but hung over a canyon 400 feet in the air. I had to be wearing a climbing harness that was attached to it while I was out there in case of like an emergency or something. And the bride and groom were professional slackliners. So they put all of this together, which is like...
Slacklining is like tightrope.
Yeah, it's kind of like tightrope walking up
high. And
they're
acrobats.
Yeah, so it was a crazy... I mean, they planned it to be this like big, crazy event. So they got married on the net. They had like a plane flying by when it was happening. And then at the end of the wedding, they had 10 base jumpers jump off in tutus as their flower girls. So the bass drummers had like pedals packed in their bass packs, and when they jumped off, pedals went everywhere in the canyon.
Right.
And
bass jumping is parachuting from
it's
object,
like skydiving
like
from
a cliff in this case.
Whoa.
Yeah. So yeah, it was like
as
a production
comes out, all the flowers are going everywhere. It was really epic.
It was wild. That was definitely like the craziest and just most eventful wedding we've done. And we even hired, it was one of the only times we've hired a third shooter, because I was like, there is so much happening.
Yeah.
We need to have another person on staff, like working with us, getting these photos. And that one was really cool. And it actually ended up kind of going viral, which was pretty crazy, and was like in People, and it was on the Today Show and
this
random stuff. And there's a viral video of the best man pretending he dropped the rings, but.
And it was so fun because it was some friends that we had made in Moab.
Yeah, it was some of our great friends. And the whole community, it was like our community of friends doing it. We knew the base jumpers. We knew the best man that created the net. And, you know, it was just a big festival of buddies out in the desert. And two of them got married and we got to shoot the wedding. So that was really fun.
That sounds amazing. So cool.
Yeah.
Any other stories you want to share that you thought of?
I think it's really cool in Yosemite when we'll do a first look at sunrise.
Mm-hmm.
Just when a bride and groom or a couple gets to experience Yosemite Valley, sometimes for the first time at sunrise, at Glacier Point, and just how stoked they are and getting to capture that. Every time we shoot up there, it's really, really special for the couple. And, you know, if their family got drug out there and they're confused about why are they doing this weird wedding, we flew across the country. And then the wedding goes down and they experience that location as a family, and it's then they all get it every single time. It clicks.
Yeah, they're like, I understand why they did this. I understand why they brought us out here. This is awesome.
Yeah, time and time again.
Yeah.
That's been our experience with these, you know, intimate outdoor adventure weddings.
Yeah, and every couple, it's just really cool at the end of the day when they're, you know, just the other day we shot one in Moab and we were driving back down with the groom and it was, the sun had set, we were going back down to a campfire with all their friends, and the groom was like, this is exactly what I wanted. Like, this is what I hoped our wedding day would be, and it surpassed all expectations. And, you know, it's just getting to watch them be so happy with the choice they made that probably at the time was pretty scary. Like, choosing to get married without your family and having to tell them and, you know, get everyone on board with the idea, whether they're not coming or they are coming and they're having to travel for it. It can be really hard to tell people that you're going to do something that's less traditional. And
especially getting the moms.
Yeah, exactly. Right. I mean, people, it's a hard decision to make. And so getting to watch kind of all of it come to fruition and see them say, like, this is why we did this, and be so psyched that they did it. That's, like, the best moment of every wedding day. And so far, every one of our couples has been really, really glad that they chose to elope and do an adventurous style wedding instead of, you know, what was expected of them when they got engaged.
Do you ever have couples do this this camping experience after that people are doing now for weddings? Have you heard of this? You probably have.
I don't know, like just camping after their wedding day.
It's kind of like glamping, you know, which I'm sure you guys don't do glamping, obviously, but like
we glamp every night in the van. It's not real camping
in your
anymore.
Van, that's true.
Yeah, we have a real
watching
mattress.
Netflix with electricity.
This is true. Okay, so like it's like camping. It's tents that are really cool and really cool lighting and atmospheric and going to locations, you know. And, like, that's the wedding. It's, like, this long party out in the, you know, in the middle of nowhere. And, like, they've got music and they've got a fire and there's really cool lighting. You know, they make it look very wedding. So I'm wondering about if you guys ever have your couples do stuff like that.
Yeah, Kim and Ryan at the SpaceNet wedding.
The SpaceNet wedding was
built this huge tent. They're just such dreamers and execute all the dreams that they come up with. And so they built an enormous tent. That they had the lights, they had the DJ, they had a huge bonfire.
Yeah, I believe the party went until sunrise.
Right, and everyone is camping out at that. But we've also got a friend in Moab that runs a similar service providing, you know, the Pinteresty looking glamping canvas tents with lighting.
Yeah.
And she comes out and cooks all these fancy vegan-y things.
Yeah, she makes awesome food. And she's actually a guide. So people can do their wedding with her or event. It doesn't have to be a wedding, but she'll guide the group like canyoneering or rock climbing. And you don't have to have any experience to do it. So
yeah,
it's a really cool option
for
people.
That's Tiffany Moyer. And the company is called Wild Soul. We can go ahead and plug her.
WILDSOL.
Yeah.
And Wild Soul Events in Moab. And it's awesome because it's like if you wanted to bring your family and friends and have them really experience Moab and get to like come out and not only watch you get married in a beautiful place, but also go through a canyon or try climbing or, you know, paddle the Colorado River on their SUP boards.
Yeah.
She can do all of those things and bring people on them and provide awesome food and the tents and everything you need. It's really cool.
Is this whose house you're staying in right now?
No, it's a different friend.
Because I see people doing Warrior here on the... website.
This friend works for Wild Soul.
That's cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, and we love working with services like that, you know, because it's very experiential and, you know, adventurous and outdoorsy. And yeah, we love it when couples want to do an elopement, an adventure elopement or intimate wedding that incorporates some more of those traditional elements where you do have a reception out in the desert or in the mountain village or whatever.
Right. Yeah. Have a little cake that they cut or
Right.
hot champagne, those kind of things.
That's awesome. Tell me, I want to know about your wedding.
We had a super normal wedding.
You did?
We got married like right out of undergrad when we were really young. And honestly, we didn't know that this type of wedding was an option at the time. But we also just had really big families and a lot of friends because we were, you know, just finishing college. So,
we were the first in our friend groups to get married. And so, and our parents were helping us pay for it. And, you know, all my siblings had done big traditional Southern weddings.
Right.
And
Southern weddings.
You know, ish. I don't know. We did
Texas
a DIY
weddings,
venue.
Yeah.
We got married outside and then the reception hall was right there.
Yeah.
We had like 200 people there.
Did a traditional wedding.
We did.
Yeah.
Yeah, it might be a little different if we were getting married now, but.
Well, now you do this all the time. You have these weddings all the time.
Right.
You're doing this all the time.
Right.
Yeah. And it's so funny because I'll have friends that are like, okay, now that you're in the wedding industry, like, what is your dream wedding? And I always say my dream wedding is that it happened in December of 2014 and it's over and we're married now. And that's like, I would take that over getting to plan a different wedding right now. And,
yeah,
you know, the goal is to get married, and we accomplished that goal and had some of our best people around. So
that's, I love that. I mean, we're talking about, and you do all this adventurous stuff, but I love that you guys had that traditional wedding and you had that experience. And like you said, like that was yours. That's what right. was for you. And a lot of our listeners are not going to go elope and go to Yosemite or jump off mm-hmm. of a cliff, but hearing about this kind of stuff and getting inspiration it's really nice. It's really, really cool. So do you have any advice for people? I mean, very much this is destination wedding that you're mm-hmm. helping these couples plan. Do you have any pieces of advice that you would give to anyone listening that's considering a destination wedding or is doing one, maybe not as adventurous, but still, you know, a lot of your couples are flying in from around the country, I would assume.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah, and out of the country too. We'll have couples right. come in from other countries.
Yeah, I mean, my biggest advice to anyone planning a wedding is to realize that the number one priority of the day is to be married by the end of it. And then after that, every single thing is up to you. And for us, like, that clearly shows in our work, in the sense that people can choose something really, really, really different. But even as simple as if you both don't like cake, then have donuts instead. Or if you want to get married outside and then have an indoor venue because it might rain that day, like, do that. There's just so many options. There's so many different ways to get married. And to kind of evaluate every single thing and see if it's worth it for you guys. And if you want to throw a big epic party for every single person you know, then freaking do that and enjoy it and get after it and love that party.
Are your couples throwing parties after most of them, do you think, later?
Some of them do. Some of them do receptions back home. Uh-huh. You know, they'll elope out here. And then just a few weeks ago, we shot a wedding for a couple that came out from Austin, and they eloped on the California coast, and then they did their honeymoon and then threw a party in Austin for all their friends.
Cool.
And, you know, put their wedding clothes back on for that party.
And I'm sure they showed your photos at the big party.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. But I think the main piece of advice to someone planning a destination wedding or, you know, an adventure elopement like what we do is to not compromise because of what other people are influencing
right.
them to do. You know, do what is true to themselves in their vision of their wedding and of their marriage. And, you know, because at the end of the day, you're going to be super, super proud of that. And you're not going to regret any element of it.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I think is what Abby and I did when we got married. You know, because it was very true to ourselves to have mm-hmm. all these friends and all this community around us. And yeah. And so now, you know, we don't regret that at all.
Right. And hire vendors that know what they're doing. That's a huge thing that, you know, especially for an adventure elopement, I would say hire a photographer that knows the place or knows how to scout places from afar. Make sure people have experience. If you're getting married in Yosemite, I would say hire a photographer that's been to Yosemite and knows that the loop is one way
right,
and that traffic 100%. Is terrible on Saturdays and you can be blocked for 3 hours if you try and go to a place right at sunset. And, you know, all of those little things that people don't know, I think it's really important to hire vendors that know what they're doing and know how to work in the place that you're getting married if it's not in a traditional place that's similar to where they have been before.
They need to know there's logistics involved, you know, and that's all the kind of like behind the scenes stuff that's not part of the adventure.
Right.
How about any like practical tips, like you should pack this way or don't forget this or bring bugs, you know, like any practical tips for destination weddings that you, because Abby, I know you help these people plan this.
Yeah. So a huge thing is weather. We will shoot in any weather that our clients are willing to shoot in. So that means if it's raining, we're out in the rain. If it's snowing, we're in the snow. So like some practical tips for like a cold wedding day is to wear nude or white leggings under your dress, have really warm socks and closed-toed shoes, have hand warmers in your pockets, and pick out a jacket that looks good with your dress that will look good in photos. Those things are all super important. And then What else? Carry on your wedding dress. Don't pack it. Ooh. Don't check it in a bag.
Good one.
Bring it with you. Don't let it lose your or leave your sight. For getting married in places like national parks, I would say it's really important to check into the permitting and always know like what permit requirements there are and that kind of stuff.
Like, do they need to go get a license?
Yeah. So in the U.S., your marriage license has to be from the county that you get married in. So that's important to pick that up or have your officiant pick it up day of or day before, you know, when you get into town. And just know the different requirements. You know, in Colorado, you can self-solemnize. You don't even have to have an officiant or witnesses. People can literally just hike alone into the wilderness and come out and then go to City Hall and say, hey, we got married and, you know, here's our license. But in some states, you know, you have to have two witnesses or there's just different requirements for every place. So to look up those requirements, call the county office and ask them those questions.
Oh, that's really good tip. Yeah. You can marry yourself. You could just go into the woods and come back and be like, we're married.
In Colorado.
Your dog can be the officiant.
Yeah.
Which that's kind of one of our goals is to have a dog officiant.
Wait, don't you have a dog? Do you guys have a dog? Did I see pictures?
Yeah, we do have a dog. He's so right sweet. He's sleeping.
So he travels in the van with you.
Yeah, he lives with us full time.
What about when you fly? Yeah. Who watches him or do you take him?
So we don't fly a ton. Okay. We really
when you go on vacation,
two flights or so a year, and he'll stay either at Abby's parents in Austin, Texas, or we'll ditch him at various friends that we have all over the country now.
Yeah, but like when we work in Yosemite, he's not allowed on any trails in national parks. So when we work in Yosemite, we'll like hire a friend to hang out in the van with him for a few hours. Or we'll use the Rover app to find someone that he can hang out with.
Aw, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Have you done any same-sex weddings?
We have. Yeah, that one I was just talking about, the couple from Austin, was two ladies, and it was super fun.
Nice.
That was
blast.
Yeah.
Excellent. Let me just look at my notes and see if there's not anything that I'm missing, and feel free to shout more out that you wanted to talk about.
You did ask about locations and who's coming up with those.
Oh yeah.
For the most part, I would say 60% of our couples probably say, hey, we're up for different locations, but we were thinking Yosemite or we were thinking, you know, somewhere in Utah. And I think that's one of the huge things that we bring to the table that is of just monumental value, is that we have a ton of location knowledge. Like, this is my Google Maps.
Yeah.
In the West.
Whoa. And so many pins.
I mean,
we're
exploring full time. And that's really what I consider myself, is like a full time explorer, I guess, either by car or hiking, or now we have a motorcycle or climbing or whatever. You know, we have 2,000 plus locations in mind in the Western U.S.
What?
That are epic.
2,000?
Yeah, that no one else is shooting weddings at.
Yeah.
And the list just continually grows.
Yeah, because literally, like, so we're in Moab right now. Today, we're probably going to go hike this new trail that I found that I kind of want to just go check out. And so it's kind of cool because we're just hiking. We're having fun. We're bringing our dog for a hike and exploring Moab. But we're also looking and saying, this would be an epic place to bring a bride and groom, or you know, this would be a really fun spot to do portraits, or this would be a really easy ceremony spot if someone's grandma just wants to walk 10 feet from the car and, you know, be present for the ceremony, but it needs to look really rad. And I mean, we just have like a never ending.
Yeah.
List.
I mean, anywhere in the U.S., in the Western U.S., that's basically, we spend all our time west of the Continental Divide.
Yeah.
But you know, if someone says, I want to get married in this location, you draw a 40-mile radius or 20-mile radius around that, and we've got places that you can camp for free, you know, maybe a hot spring if you're lucky. I'm pretty obsessed with hot springs.
Callan has two tattoos on his arm. One is a tent and one is a hot spring.
Nice.
And his two passions.
Nice.
Right. But yeah, that's, and you know, sometimes we do have couples that say, this is exactly where I want to get married.
Yeah.
And it's a spot that's special to them. You know, maybe a hiking trip that they did when they first met or something like that. And we love to do that also and kind of get to share in a location that's special to them.
Yeah, but that is one thing that's really unique about us is a lot of times our couples are reaching out without a set date or location in mind, and they want to work with us. And yeah, sometimes that's us suggesting locations. Sometimes that's us sending our travel schedule and saying like, hey, which one of these things stand out to you? We have availability in these months. And kind of going from there.
Oh, that's awesome. So you can recommend a good spot based on the couple, like you getting to know their personalities and their comfort zone probably with regard to wildlife and what they're comfortable doing, right?
Exactly.
Definitely.
Awesome. And I like to ask this, and you know, and you might have already said it, but if there was one thing you want our listeners to take away from listening to this episode specifically, what would that be?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest takeaway is that you can do something different. If the big wedding doesn't resonate with you, you don't have to do that. And just to figure out what feels right to your personalities, if that is like going out on a hike and then watching an episode of The Office together on your computer, like freaking do that on your wedding day and do it together. And that's our biggest thing is just we love when we get to empower couples to do the wedding that they didn't even realize they wanted, that feels so right to them in the end. And that you don't have to be this super adventurous outdoorsy person that only shops at REI to do an adventure elopement. It can work for anyone. And we have brides that have super long trains and they have their hair done really nicely. And, you know, they have all of these big dreams and like, awesome heels and they rock it in a national park, and you don't have to be like, I don't know, grungy, crunchy trail person to get married in the outdoors.
That to me, when you said that, I was like, oh, so I could do this. I mean, I'm getting better at being outdoorsy. I'm changing in my older age but I wonder, do you guys do a lot of engagement sessions? Like maybe they don't have the wedding, but they want to go take these awesome photos.
Yes, we do. That's a huge thing that we do a lot of. We call them adventure sessions.
Cool.
And it's interesting because a lot of our adventure sessions are couples that we don't end up shooting their wedding. So that's a big thing. You know, sometimes we'll have couples that are like, hey, my family really wants me to get married here, or I really want to get married back at home and have a traditional wedding, but I also love your work and want to work with you guys. So that's what a lot of our adventure session couples are, is they decide, you know, they still want to do a more traditional wedding, but they do want that adventure. So they meet us out in Yosemite at some point in their engagement and do engagement photos with us. And we love those.
How much do you charge for those?
Those are $2,000.
Awesome.
For 2 hours, yeah. And it's the same, you know, you get access to our extensive location knowledge. We have a guide for that as well. We're super involved in those sessions, and they're really fun. We love them and our couples love them.
Do you ever get couples after they're married for a while, they have kids, and then they like want to go do another photo shoot with the family? Have you had that? Oh, you haven't been doing this long enough to do that.
Yeah, not quite, but we have, I mean, we love to meet up with our couples, you know, down the road.
Yeah.
Because we end up traveling through their areas and stuff. And we love hanging out with them. We have taken photos of some friends that we did their engagement session, and then we actually taught a workshop teaching other photographers how to do these kind of adventure weddings. We did that in Yosemite in February, and we had that couple that did engagement photos come out and model for the workshop, and they had just a blast.
Yeah.
You know, because we knew them and their personalities, and we were like, they're going to love being models for this, and they're going to be able to handle having, you know, 10 cameras in their face all afternoon.
Yeah, we love to stay friends with our couples. It's a huge thing that, you know, our couples are like messaging us. And if we're coming through whatever city they live in, they'll be like, hey, if you need a shower, if you need to do laundry, come over. And that's really fun for us to get to stay connected to them.
That is very cool, you guys. Okay. So please tell our listeners the best way to find you.
Yeah. So you can find us on Instagram at the Hearns, T-H-E-H-E-A-R-N-E-S. And from that account, you can actually find our individual personal accounts as well if you want to follow those.
And then also our website.
Yeah, thehearns.com, which is linked in our Instagram. Or you can just Google adventure wedding photographer, and I'm pretty sure we're at the top right now.
Nice.
Or it's some of our friends that are doing similar stuff.
Yeah, if we're not at the top, it's like probably our best friend. So it works. We have healthy competition. But
yeah,
just the Hearns anywhere you can find us. And Instagram is definitely the best place to keep up with us. I'm on the app.
And look up the Hearns SpaceNet wedding.
Yeah,
check that out because it was super fun.
Have your mind blown.
Oh, dude, I'm totally doing it. All right. Thank you so much. I have to do my normal, what Krista usually does this part. So let's see if I do this okay. As always, our listeners can find us on Twitter at TBWP Podcast, on Instagram, which is my favorite place, at The Big Wedding Planning Podcast. We're on Facebook. We are on Patreon now, so if you want to help us out and show some support so we can bring you more awesome content, go to patreon.com/thebigweddingplanningpodcast. Don't forget to go on iTunes and keep rating and reviewing us. We love that. We appreciate your time and you're helping others find our show so we can help them plan their weddings. And we got a phone number, so give me a call. Let me hear your voice. And that phone number is 415-723-1625. Oh, okay, that's all of it. Hearns crew, couple, team, it was so lovely having you. Thank you again.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having us. This was really fun.
All right. Happy planning to all of you out there, and I will talk to you all next week. Bye-bye.